15 years after his death, Fred Rogers is having a moment.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor, would you be mine?
Your favorite neighbor is about to get his face on a stamp, his own movie starring Tom Hanks, and two documentaries. It's no coincidence, tomorrow will be 50 years since Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood first aired on national TV. NPR's Andrew Limbong has this on the lasting legacy of the show.
There were other kids' shows in the 1960s that had puppets and talked to kids, but Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was different. He was on public television, for one thing, no commercials, and he was relaxed.
He was never as obvious as those other shows.
That's Elizabeth Mahoney from the University of Pittsburgh. For more than 20 years, she oversaw the Rogers Archive, tapes of the show, scripts, puppets, cataloging data. She noted the show's soft, subtle repetition. The shoes always went on and off. The jacket was always traded in for a sweater.
He really did create an environment that children were comfortable in because some of the same things happened every day.
Do you ever change your shoes when you come home from someplace? Oh, your school or your work or get ready to play.
Mahoney says Fred Rogers got help from a child psychologist named Margaret McFarland.
She talked with him about the manner in which children see the world and thinking about how can this 3 or 4 year old understand my concept.
Fences. The world is full of fences, and some I like, and some I don't like, the kind that keep me out. No.
While the show was comforting, it also pushed against the status quo of 1968. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was one where men baked cakes in the kitchen. Women wore army uniforms. Michael Long is author of the book Peaceful Neighbor, Discovering the Countercultural Mr. Rogers. He says the show dealt with the heavy topics of the time.
In 1967, just before the show debuted nationally, race riots were rocking the country.
In 100 places, Detroit is afire.
And at the same time, the Vietnam War was raging.
In the week ended last Saturday, 218 Americans died in combat.
And Mr. Rogers decides that he's going to devote the first week of his national program to issues of war and peace.
On the first week of his show, there's this 5-day story arc where King Friday the 13th is preparing to go to war.
Because he's upset that things have changed in the neighborhood.
Just because Lady Elaine made a few changes is no reason for you to set up border guards.
There may be other changers, and I refuse to let them come in.
The king builds a fence with barbed wire around the castle. People are required to give their name, rank, and serial number if they want to come over.
And so Lady Aberlin decides that she's going to exercise a voice of dissent. And she and another character in the neighborhood of make-believe devise a plan whereby they're going to float peace balloons with peace messages attached to them. And these peace balloons are interpreted by King Friday to be paratroopers, and he calls for his armed troops to fire on these peace balloons.
Fire the cannon! Fire the cannon! Man your stations!
Eventually, King Friday the 13th acquiesces and accepts the messages of peace and change. From issues like violence to border walls to gender roles, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood has something to say to kids and to the rest of us 50 years later. Andrew Limbong, NPR News.
Tomorrow, it soon will be tomorrow and be our day. We will say a very happy tomorrow to you. See you then. Bye.